Isn't it time you lived life on your own terms? If not now, when? Visit abrilliantgamble.com for more information on Blair's new exciting online coaching program. Midlife doesn't have to be a crisis. It's a time to rethink who you are and what you really want from your work, your life, and yourself. Sacrificing your soul stops here. It's time to make some plans, make them happen, and live the life you deserve. With interviews, stories from her own adventures, and expert insights, here's your host, best-selling author, speaker, and coach, Blair Palmer.
Hello and welcome to episode 126 of the Brilliant Gamble podcast. I hope you are really well. Oh, the realities of having a podcast. We were just about last week to do a really big push on the show. We just feel at the moment, I certainly feel that this is a fantastic show. I'm really, really proud of it. And particularly the kind of guests we've had recently who were talking about how to leave your job, how they left their job, how they succeeded in business afterwards, and some very specific niches that they work within that might help you as you transition out of your corporate job. I just think these conversations are so, so helpful. So the team and I were chatting about what do we want to push, what do we want to get out there into the world, and the podcast was right up there. So we're just about to do a really big push on the show. When we realized last week that iTunes wasn't updating and that you just can't find this show on iTunes anymore when you search. So there's a few things about that. Firstly, it brings up this very important point to share with you, which is when you think about running your own business, these are the things you never think about. How, for instance, tech, the technology we rely on so much to do what we do, can scupper your plans. Just as well, though, we also have the podcast on Simplecast and on Spotify. And actually, you can also listen to it on YouTube. And that's another lesson, too, which is always to have a backup. So although people who want to listen to the show haven't been able to find it by searching on iTunes, when they've inquired, I've been able to point them to other places that they can listen and get their weekly fix. So, you know, this is the reality. You can lose a lot of time in an average week because something like that goes wrong. But if you've got backups, then you can minimize the issue. And if you also, this is important too, have access to someone who's good at the technical stuff, if you aren't, and who can get on with it behind the scenes trying to fix it as I do in the lovely Elizabeth Dunn, then that helps too. You don't have to do everything on your own. So, if you've been able to find the show this week, well done. And if we haven't already sorted out the problem with iTunes, just to reassure you, we are doing our best. And it is totally relevant anyway to what I wanted to talk to my guest about today, because there are two things that everyone asks me. The first is they ask me about my trip last year with my daughter and dogs and whether they could do it too. And they ask how to start their own podcast. So the perfect guest to speak to this week is Debbie Arcangeles. She is a podcaster and digital nomad. So she makes money from her show. She left her normal job after realizing she could make money doing something she loved and that she could travel at the same time. In our interview, we talk about how she gets paid to podcast and we bust a few myths about that. Some myths that I was surprised to hear are not true. We talk about how to find the right brands for you who might be interested in sponsorship deals, even if you have a small audience. How you can make money and be location independent. We talk about what it is to be a digital nomad and all the wide variety of businesses that you can run that mean that you can travel as you run your business. the ups and downs of life as a business person. She's really honest about that. And if you hang on towards the end of the interview, you'll hear her be really honest about the situation. And I find that very reassuring. It's not all the way things look on Instagram. People who are running these businesses and living these lifestyles, it's real for them too. And they have good months and bad months. So we talk about that. And we talk about what it means to be a lazy entrepreneur and how you can become one too. So I'm sure you'll enjoy this. Let's go to the interview. Debbie, great to be with you. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much, Blair, for having me here.
Now, I often ask guests where they are, but it's particularly important to ask you where you are because you are a digital nomad. You could be anywhere in the world. So where are you today? Where are we talking to you from?
I am currently in Florida. I just got here a week ago where I was kind of all over the place before. So right now I'm here for about a month and a half before I leave again.
And what is it about the travel lifestyle that appeals to you so much?
Well, so in the beginning, honestly, to tell you the truth, when I was younger in my 20s, it was just really out of curiosity. I wanted to learn different cultures. I wanted to eat different foods. And I essentially just wanted to be in different locations to experience things that are new to myself. And now as I get older, it's just really trying to immerse myself in different locations and staying put in one place a little bit longer. I know right now that's not really the case, but I do try to travel slower because it's more important to me now. So I guess as you get older, travel has a different meaning to you.
Okay, so there will be a lot of people listening who love the idea of being location independent, having a business. You know, if you're going to leave corporate life and you've been forced to stay pretty much in one place permanently because that's where you work, that's where you live, everything is based there. One of the most incredible freedoms that you can create for yourself if you're going to leave that corporate life is to build a business that right from its foundations doesn't have to be based in any particular place. So there'll be lots of people listening who either want to travel permanently or just want to know that if they did want to go somewhere for the weekend or the week or the month or spend a year somewhere else, they could. So, and that's really what I want to talk to you about. So how, maybe we can start with this idea of location independence. What does it actually mean to be location independent?
So I tell this to a lot of people, even people in my industry I've spoken to, and they don't realize their location independence. So location independence just means that you have the freedom to be able to work from anywhere. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to travel full time and constantly, right? It just means that you can work anywhere you want to if that is what you want. So as long as you have an internet and a computer, you can do your job. And there's a misconception that location independence means that you're constantly on the go, you're constantly traveling. It doesn't mean it that way. It just means you have freedom. And really, that's what I wanted, is to have freedom with my life, to work when I want, and to work wherever I wanted, whether it's in one place or in multiple places.
Does it matter what industry you're in? I mean, you know, there are some professions or some kind of businesses that would seem to be more suitable to that kind of lifestyle, particularly if your business is travel-based. You're a travel photographer or you're a travel blogger or something like that. But are there particular professions or types of business that really suit that location-independent format?
So that's another misconception. A lot of people, when they hear or think about digital nomads, they automatically think bloggers. Okay, bloggers can do that because they can write, or writers. And that's not true. So I also have a podcast called The Offbeat Life, and I've interviewed a lot of people in varied jobs and careers. And there were musicians. There was someone that taught violin online. I've just spoken to a bookkeeper. It doesn't have to be something that's out of the norm, right? So a violinist or a bookkeeper, all of these people are essentially jobs that anyone can do. And you don't need to do that. You can be an accountant and still do this online, as long as your clients are willing to be able to do this through the internet, and as long as you have Wi-Fi. And then I've also spoken to people who are like traveling nurses. You don't necessarily have to be online to do this. And they travel every few months to different locations, and they practice their careers in that sense. So yeah, you don't necessarily need to be a specific type of job. You just have to be more creative and do it that way.
Yeah. There's a woman that does my parents' feet. In fact, she does all the feet of all the people, all the retired people in the retirement complex where my parents live. And she's location independent. So obviously she has to be physically at this retirement complex to shave off the dead skin off people's feet. She can't do that online. But she does that for 1 week a month. And then the rest of the time she's in her house in France. So she books all her appointments in that 1 week. She flies back to the UK. She does all the feet that week. And then she flies back to France, and she has 3 weeks just living in France, not doing anything. So she earns her money in that 1 week by doing the feet. And I think that's so clever. If you like the idea of travel, or you like the idea of just not having to be in the same place all the time, just getting creative about how you can do that, even if your physical presence is sometimes required.
Yeah, absolutely. You can definitely make this work. You can either go to other companies who are already doing it, or you start your own business. There's different ways to do that. This, there's not one way to do it, right? I mean, we're living in an age and a time right now where anything is pretty much possible. You just talking about this woman cleaning somebody's feet and being location independent, come on, that would not have happened like 30, 40, 50 years ago. We're so lucky to be able to do that and make money from it. I mean, it's pretty incredible. People are very creative.
Yeah. I really like that. And I really like the fact that you can almost start with the idea, all right, it can be done. Now, how do I do it?
Absolutely. And, yeah.
And so what's your model? What is it that, how do you make money living on the road?
Yeah, so essentially when I started a few years ago, I didn't know that I could do this, right? I was working at a 9-to-5. I had a really good job. I made my own hours. I got paid really well, but it wasn't making me fulfilled. I wasn't happy. And every day I was kind of having struggles with who I was in this job. And I used to be a photojournalist, and I did travel a lot. And what I really loved about that work that I did before was the connection I was making with people and everyone I was talking to who were digital nomads, who were location independent. And that's really where my interest lied, was talking to people who had really interesting careers and lifestyles. So what I ended up doing was I created a Instagram. It was just for my travels. I didn't know anything was going to come of it. And then after a year or so, I started growing, and people started asking me to start a travel blog. And I love blogs, but it wasn't for me. And my friend at the time was a really avid podcast listener. So he introduced me to podcasting, and it just clicked. I said, wow, well, this is the platform that I really want to go into, because it's about stories. It's not necessarily about visual things, but it's about stories and listening to people's incredible lives and stories that I can tell and what I've heard from the people that I've spoken to in the past. And that's really how it started. And I actually started making money from my podcast. And okay, I've spoken to a lot of podcasters and no one knows how to make money from it. And the first time I actually made money from my podcast was about the 6 month mark. And two brands actually reached out to me and they were offering me money to do a sponsorship deal through my podcast and my social media. And that's when it started. And I said to myself, wow, I didn't know I could do this. Everyone I spoke to told me it would take years and I would need like a ton of listens to actually make money. And I was proven wrong, because they were coming to me, and that's when it all started. And then I think I was looking at Facebook groups, and I love all the information that are given there when it comes to technical stuff and support. But when it came to people actually teaching you how to create income, everyone was saying, no, you need this much amount, or the amount of money they were asking were so little. It's mind-boggling to me, because we work so hard with our podcast that people were asking peanuts for what they were doing. And a lot of people don't know how to negotiate. So instead of reaching out to people who told me I couldn't do it, I started reaching out to my friends who were really successful in their industry, especially in the blogging world. And they taught me a lot of things and I started making a lot of money from it. And I ended up saving money, not just from my day job, but also from my podcast and my social media brand deals, that I ended up leaving my day job and I do this full time now. So it's pretty crazy.
That's a great story. I love that. And that's really what I want to focus in on for now, is just this podcasting thing and how to make money from it. Because a lot of people contact me, they know I have this show, and they contact me and they want to do a podcast and they ask how they can get started. But we're all having the same attitude, which is, well, you do a podcast because you love it. You do a podcast because you want to get information out there into the world. You want to raise your profile. But none of us in my little group of buddies who are doing podcasts are making money from podcasts. But you are. So I would really love to know how you actually do that. And particularly, because you're right, I've been told you need at least 10,000 downloads per week in order to get sponsorship. And that's a lot. So how do you start making money from your podcast?
So what I think was essentially unique with me, and it may not be true to a lot of people, is I already had an audience with my social media. So when people look at podcasting and someone who's doing podcast, they just focus on their podcast when it comes to making and creating income from it. So what I do is I actually create a package that allows me to sell not just my podcast, but also through my social media to my blog. And when I add all of that stuff, that's thousands and thousands of dollars that you're essentially putting on the table. And what I started doing, because I haven't spoken to a podcaster yet that are in the same amount of level, like the same downloads as me, who is actually making money. And when I spoke to my friends who were doing this and I asked them, what did you do when you were in my stage? And they said, well, in the beginning, what you should do is you should just create a price bracket for yourself that you feel comfortable in. And then when you pitch to brands, see if they bite. If they bite, then that means that your pricing is right. If they don't, then it means you have to lower it. And I started doing that and they started biting, and I just kept hiring up my pricing because I wasn't listening and I wasn't going to what people were telling me. Like, I think it was something ridiculous. It was like, you should ask for $50 an episode. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. I ask way, way more than that. And people were biting. So what I would say for somebody who is doing this don't look at your podcast as a lone entity. You have to add other things to it, what your services are, because especially if you don't have the downloads, that amount of downloads, I certainly don't. And you can't just sell it. You have to negotiate it in a way where there's other platforms that you are serving this brand, these brands towards. And also the fact that you have to sell yourself and who your audience is. If your audience are very dedicated to you and they listen to you every month, you have to sell that. You have to tell the brand that you're working with, listen, I know my numbers are not as good as somebody else, but my audience are dedicated. And this is what they're doing. They're listening to me every month. And this is, even though my growth may be slower, it's still growing and they're coming back and they're coming back for more. And then if you add your socials to that, your blog to that, and any other thing that you have that you can sell, add it on there. Don't just sell one thing, sell different things and create a package towards that.
That is so, so useful. So it doesn't necessarily matter if the podcast itself is quite small, if you have these other elements to your brand. And where do you start? I mean, obviously knowing who your audience is crucial to this. When you have that concept though of who your audience is, how do you start thinking of what kind of sponsors to approach? How do you know who would be interested in targeting that audience?
Yeah, absolutely. So the easiest way to do it is to ask your audience, right? Or if you yourself is your ideal audience, you could also ask yourself, like, what do I use now? What have I been using? What will my audience want? If you have an email list, start emailing your listeners and say, listen, what are your pain points right now? What products are you currently using? All of that stuff. So for me, I do a lot of pitching to products and brands. I pitch specifically to certain brands who I personally use or I know that my clients will use. So for example, because I am a digital nomad and most of my listeners are either digital nomad wannabes or they are digital nomads right now, the main thing that we're always wanting are things about our taxes. So I had a brand deal with a tax company. So you have to also think outside of the box. Just because I'm in the travel niche doesn't mean I'm going to necessarily go out and try to get brand deals with hotels. You know what I mean? Because you also had to think, what is the low-hanging fruit? What is the fruit that everyone doesn't care about, right? Like, and a lot of the people in my peer group in the travel industry, they go to destinations or hotels. I don't go for that usually. I usually go for that if they come to me. So you really have to think outside of the box, because there's a lot of brands out there who are willing to give you that money because they find value in your work and your audience. So you have to do a little bit of digging. You have to be a little bit more creative. You have to think outside of the box. And don't be afraid to reach out, guys. That's the most important thing. I've spoken to so many people who said to me, oh my God, how do you do it? Nothing is going to come to you if you wait. You had to reach out to them.
I read somewhere in one of your blogs that you've emailed 200 companies or something. Maybe it's more now. And of course,
Oh yeah, it's more. Yeah, it's way more.
It must be by now. And most of them are going to say no, right?
Absolutely. Like 98% of them either don't respond back or say, no, you're not the right fit for us, or your audience is not big enough. So you're definitely going to get a lot of rejection.
So what kind of companies do say yes? What is it that maybe that appeals to them about you specifically, but also that, because they're probably not the kind of organizations that typically advertise on podcasts. So what makes them want to do it with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've had several companies that I've worked with that do work with podcasts, and then some that I have never done it before and they just wanted to test the waters. So what really drives them in is the fact that what our brands are, they mesh really well. So that's another thing. That's why I emphasize that when you are reaching out to brands, make sure they are the right fit for you. And making sure that they would want your audience to be their audience, right? It has to be the right fit. And that's honestly why I've landed these different types of deals, is because I did my research and I knew that they are looking for the people that I have as audiences.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's so important. If you think about, I mean, as you said, you think about what you like, but you also think about and what you're using. I mean, if I think for me, you know, project management software is crucial when you're leaving your job. You know, it's just so complicated. There's so many things to do that having some sort of company that you use for that is so useful. All kinds of resources are coming to my mind as we're having this conversation. I think it's really useful if you think of having a podcast of your own to sit down and think, who is my audience and what are the things that they need in order to do this thing that we talk about on this show? I think that's fantastic. And then, as you say, to reach out to them.
Yeah. It's not gonna, I mean, I honestly got really lucky in the beginning because I've been doing it for a few months and the brand started reaching out to me. But I soon realized, like, it doesn't happen often, and you have to really go out there and not be afraid of rejection, because you're gonna get a lot of it, right? So it's like a feast or famine for the most part. I mean, that's any business. Like, one month I could be earning like 10 grand and the next month it's nothing. You know, it's actually a few months. And then a few months after that, you get another few grand, and then like another few months, you get nothing. So it's a lot of hard work, and it's a lot of feast or famine and a lot of rejection for sure.
One of the things I like about your business is that it's very, very precise in terms of what you do. You don't have a huge range of income sources. You have your podcast and you help other people with their podcasts. Are there any other income streams for you?
Yeah. I'm a unicorn when it comes to like podcasting, because most of my income streams comes from my podcasting and brand sponsorships and deals. So along with my social media brand deals and my blogging, like, so that's really where my main type of income comes from. That's like 80% of my income. And then I also help people manage their social media. So that's another thing that I do. And I also help people out how to actually start their podcast, and also teaching them how to create income from that, and also how to negotiate with brand deals when it comes to that. So that's really where all of my main bread and butter from.
Yeah. That's very good. So let's say, taking the money to one side for a second, the income from podcasting, let's say someone wants to start a podcast. How do they even start having that conversation? Because when people approach me and ask me, they have this vague idea that they want to do a podcast because they like podcasts and they've got lots of ideas for things that they could talk about on their podcast, but it's still pretty vague in terms of what's the point of this podcast and who it's for. And given that, I mean, you've mentioned this already, doing a podcast is a huge investment of time. I think that people don't realize just how much time is involved. If you're going to do it, you need to have thought it through. So where should people start? If they have this vague idea, they want to do a podcast, what's the first thing they need to get clear in their own mind?
So I would say that you have to think about it this way. You have to either think about it in a way where, do I want to do this essentially as a hobby, or do I want to do this essentially as a career, and where am I going to take this in the long term? I know that may sound really big to think about in the beginning, but it really helps with your trajectory when it comes to where your podcast is going to be in the future. So, for example, if it's a hobby, then you don't really have to invest too much into it, right? It's just fun. Maybe you're going to learn here and there about editing, or you could pay someone to do it, but there's really not a lot of stress, right? You could talk about anything you want, honestly. It could be from, you know, how to grow a garden or your kids, whatever it is. It's a hobby. Now, if you want to do this as part of your business and it's going to create income for your business that you already have, or later on, maybe you want to do sponsorship deals. Now, even though it may sound like a big, not, you know, like it may sound overwhelming, but you have to think about the specific niche that you have, who you're going to market to, and really find the avatar, right? I guess you could do this too, even if it's just a hobby, because that's really going to tell you who you're going to be approaching later, even for your brand deals, and when you're marketing it on social media, which Facebook groups you're going to be going to. So before even you learn about editing, you learn about how to use your equipment, think about who your audience is going to be and where you want to take this in the future, because you don't want to invest a lot of time and money into it and nothing comes of it. Obviously, you're going to learn a lot, which is fine. We all fail at a lot of things, but it's always good to know where you want this to head into. So once you figure out your niche, once you figure out who your audience is, what they want to hear from you, that's also going to make it easier for you to understand what you're going to talk about, right? And then it becomes really clear who you are, who your audience is, and essentially later on, who you're going to be working with when it comes to when it comes to terms with brands and whatever e-courses, digital products you go to, or even just regular products. Yeah, so I would say start with that.
Yeah. So you mentioned a term there that I hadn't heard until I started doing my podcast, which was the term avatar. Mm-hmm. Of course, ever since then, I've heard it a million times. But maybe you can explain what the avatar is. You just wait there one sec. Hang on a minute.
Yeah.
I just wanted to reach over the table to show you mine. This is my avatar. She's not a lady, but she is. She's the avatar for a Brilliant Gamble, and her name's Sandra, and she's 51, and she is a sales director, and she lives in Cheshire. By the way, if Sandra is listening and you're a real person, I'd be very interested to hear from you. But the point is that I actually really have this complete human being. And in fact, there are two of them, there's Sandra and there's another lady. And they're both figments of my imagination, but they are as close as I can get to the kind of person that is listening to this show and that is taking part in my programs and that is downloading my free checklist and all of those kind of things. And it helps so much to know who I'm speaking to, because then I have ideas for what she might need. So, I mean, I asked you to explain what an avatar is. To me, that's what an avatar is. Maybe you can talk about where you start with creating that persona.
Yeah, absolutely. So an avatar is essentially who your ideal listener is. Like, what are their pain points? What are they having issues with right now that you can help with? So once you figure that out, like, what are their daily lives are like? When do you think they're going to be listening to the show? Is it during their morning commute? Is it at night when they're about to go to sleep? You know, what are their hobbies? What are they having trouble with right now with their life? And once you have that, I know it's imaginary, but there's a lot of people I'm sure that's like that person. Once you figure out especially their pain points and their daily habits, you're going to understand when to put out your podcast, what to talk about, what questions to ask, what questions to answer. So it really helps, because even though you're niching, it's really good to do that, because then you have a specific target of people that you are essentially using so that you can give them what they want and they need. So that's really what an avatar is. And yeah, I mean, it may seem a little overwhelming, but as you go into it, you're probably really similar to your avatar, because you're going to have similar interests, especially if you are talking about a specific topic that obviously you're interested about, right? Otherwise, why would you be talking about it on your podcast?
Yeah, and I think you really have to be interested, because if you think about it, you're going to be talking about this thing and talking to people about this thing, your podcast guests, every week, forever, until you decide not to do the podcast again. And it certainly took me a few years, actually, with this show to find a groove where I actually really wanted to talk to my guests. I wasn't doing it because, well, that's what my podcast is about, so, you know, I have to talk to these guests about these things. Actually, to find guests and topics that you could talk about that thing every day, you know, even if you weren't doing a podcast, I think that's really important, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You really have to be passionate with what you're doing. I mean, I would say that should be the case for everything in your life, because when you're not making money and things are rough, that's the only thing sometimes that will get you through, is your passion and your dedication for your work. So if you're not passionate about it and you're just here to make money, it's going to get old really fast. And even if you're making money, you're not going to be happy, and you're probably going to leave and do something else. So definitely make sure that the topics that you are talking about is something that you're really passionate about and you want to do every single time, because yeah, your podcast is, you know, if you have a niche, that's what you're going to talk about a lot.
Yeah, that's right. And it even comes to I mean, I know a lot of people, they mainly do solo shows, and in a lot of ways, solo shows are easier because logistically it's just easier, but it's harder because you have to keep coming up with the topics that you're going to speak about. But on the other hand, finding guests is a lot of work, and you have to actually really want to connect with those people, because otherwise you just don't find the time to send those emails and to do the Google searches and find the people that are talking about the things that your audience want to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the beginning, I had it was pretty great, because I was meeting a lot of people during my travels. And also, I'm a big believer in connecting with people through social media. And that's really where I got a lot of my guests from. And even now, when I go on press trips, I get like 3 to 4 interviews from that, just connecting with people. And I also have an assistant that constantly emails people to be on the podcast. So you definitely have to be on top of things, especially if you have a weekly show. And there's people that even do a daily show and they do interviews. So that's amazing to me. That's incredible.
Yeah, I've never been able to understand how people do that. And yeah, I mean, if it's your full-time thing and that's all you do, maybe, but even so, I mean, it's just so much work. So anyway, they are my heroes, people that do the daily shows.
Yeah, me too.
So there was something else I wanted to talk to you. I think the podcasting stuff is so interesting. And of course, it is the kind of job that you can do that really benefits actually from you being on the road. When I was doing my podcast while I was traveling, for the same reason, it was much easier in a lot of ways. Because I was meeting new people all the time who were doing interesting things and living in an interesting way. And it doesn't happen so much when I'm, you know, sitting in my house in England and, you know, just doing normal everyday stuff, seeing the same people. So it definitely is a good combination. One of the things that were, before I pressed record, you were talking to me about this idea of being a lazy entrepreneur and that you've been accused of being a lazy entrepreneur. I would love to be a lazy entrepreneur. I'm fundamentally a lazy person. I find myself with far harder than I would like. So what is this? How do you become a lazy entrepreneur?
So when I put it on social media, on my profile, that I am location independent and also a lazy entrepreneur, it's funny how many messages I got from people that said, oh, you should be kinder to yourself. You're not lazy. You work really hard. And I said, well, it doesn't really mean that. Like, it doesn't mean that I'm actually a lazy person. Sometimes I do. We all do. And it's really interesting when I don't work a certain amount of hours, I do feel lazy. But being a lazy entrepreneur means that you worked your butt off a lot in the beginning, but then you realized that you needed to create a system so that your business runs itself pretty much essentially on its own, even if you're not there. And what I did was I created these systems. I hired an assistant, and I think I have four people working for me now who are doing a lot of the tedious tasks that I used to do. Like, for example, editing my podcast, doing research, emailing people to be on the show. You know, I have guest writers, I have writers for my website. So these were the types of things that would, I'm not kidding you, I would sometimes work 10 hours after I worked 8 to 9 hours for my day job. So I would work 15, 18 hours and have 3 hours of sleep because I was doing these things continuously. And it takes a toll on your body. And what I realized was that having people to help you do your work, especially the things that you really don't need to do on your own. Obviously, I have to do the interviews. I have to, when I'm talking and doing all these things, I have to do that. And there's certain things that I have to do to check up to make sure that everything is running smoothly. You don't need to do everything yourself. And that's what I learned. And now there have been times, honestly, where I was on a press trip and I couldn't do any of work that I needed to do for like 2 weeks. And I was going crazy. And I said to myself, oh my God, what's happening? I'm not doing anything for my business. And then I would get updates from my assistant saying, this is done, this is done. And then I said to myself, wow, I'm not doing anything, but things are still getting done. So that's what it means. Like, you're a lazy entrepreneur. It means that you've done your work. You've created a system for yourself. Now you are benefiting from the fruits of your labor and things are still getting done, even though you're not doing anything. So you could be a little quote unquote lazy here and there and not feel guilty about it. Because believe me, even now I was actually on like a long press trip for me, I think. So it was a few weeks of it. And then I came home and I literally just lay down for like 3 days and slept and didn't do anything. And I felt really guilty about it, but things are still getting done. So that's what it means to be a lazy entrepreneur. It means that you are able to have the privilege to not do anything, or have, you're lucky enough not to do anything because of the systems you created for your business.
And made the point that it requires all the work at the beginning to put that in place. That you can, I think you can outsource some things too early because you can outsource because you want to avoid doing them, or because you are really lazy and you just can't be bothered. Although that I don't meet many people like that. But one of the things that I've learned is that when I've outsourced some tasks too early, I've lost track of how they actually are supposed to work. And then, so I just don't know what's going on in my own business. I don't know how some aspect of my business works. And I think even if you're not naturally technical or you're not naturally a good salesperson, having to do those things first yourself teaches you so much. And then you can outsource and then you know how it's supposed to be done, what good looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell people all the time, don't start outsourcing until you know the tasks yourself. So if you don't know how to do the work, what, God forbid, something happens and your assistants are sick or they quit, no one's gonna do it. If you don't know how to do those tasks, then you're, you know, it's gonna be really bad for you. So for example, it took me about a year and a half to actually find the right editor. And the reason why it took me a really long time to do that is because I know my editing style and I know what good editing sounds like. And I edited my my audio for a really long time before I started reaching out. And once I knew how to do that, it was easy for me to fend off people who were not good at their job and who were. And it's the same with your assistants. You really have to know what it's like, what they're going through, to understand how long it takes to do that. If they're taking too long, you're going to say, well, it took me this much amount of time. How come it's taking you like three times as much? There's something missing here. So that's also a way for you to gauge whether a person is the right one for you as well, because you know what questions to ask when you're interviewing them. You know how hard that task is or how easy it is. So it's always good to know. That's why I worked a lot of hours before, because you really have to learn your business. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. And if you don't outsource because you like to keep too much control, or because, you know, you're worried about the money or whatever, you really do put a limit, don't you, on how big your business can become and how much you can grow. You only have a certain number of hours in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would not be able to keep up, honestly, to tell you the truth, if I didn't have people who are incredibly amazing at their jobs who work for me. And, you know, I wouldn't be able to go on press trips because I run a lot of different things with my platform. I have a website to run. I have social media to run. I have my podcast to run. So there's different aspects to this business. And on top of that, you're constantly negotiating with brands. You're speaking to them. You're trying to collaborate with other creators. There's a lot of things going on. And if I did it myself, it just wouldn't run as well as I would want it to. Now, I know a lot of people are very much into doing everything themselves because they want it to be perfect. You also have to understand that no one is going to do it like you, right? Nothing is perfect. Even us, we're not perfect. So you also have to understand that there are certain things that you may have to give up. But as long as it's doable, definitely do it, because you're probably going to be, or most likely going to be, creating more income and more time for things that are actually going to grow your business than doing tedious tasks like looking for people's emails, doing like random things like that. So it's really helpful, but do it when you can actually do it, like when you know your business.
Yeah. Well, that's such great advice. So what lies in the future for you? I mean, you've got a successful podcast. It's making you money. It enables you to travel. This is for people who are just starting to think about the kind of post-corporate life they'd like. This sounds pretty good. So where do you go from here?
Honestly, it's not all pretty good. It's not. And I'm very candid about that, especially on my podcast. Like, I talk to a lot of people, and because there's a lot of different myths when it comes to this lifestyle, especially in the travel industry. And what I do is that we're always on constant vacations and we get paid to do this. Yeah, that's true. And I'm so lucky. I can't even express how fortunate and how blessed I am to be able to do this lifestyle. And I can't even imagine doing anything else right now. But there's definitely a lot of ups and downs. And believe me, I don't make like a ton of money every month doing this. You know, there's definitely low months for sure. So honestly, for me, what I constantly do is I try to grow. I try to collaborate. I try to get as much exposure as I can. And then my essential goal is to be able to create more products for my audience and see how I can help them even more to do this type of lifestyle as well and to prepare for it. So whether it's to create products to help you grow your podcast, how to market it, how to reach out to brands, how to be a digital nomad, how to be able to sustain this lifestyle, because it's definitely not easy, even though it looks good. That's really what I want to do for, you know, I constantly want to be doing is just to make sure that I'm helping people out to do this lifestyle and to sustain this lifestyle. And yeah, that's my future so far.
That's great. And like so many of my guests, you are, of course, motivated by the lifestyle that you're wanting to create for yourself and to feel that your life is a really good fit for you. But you also care about the people that are using your services, the people, the listeners, the people that are aspiring to live a lifestyle that's a bit like yours. And I think that matters so much, to really care about your audience and not just see them as the people that are paying for your lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. Because at the end of the day, what I really wanted to do when I started this was to not only help myself out, because I was really at a time and a point in my life where I was really at my wit's end. I was living the American dream, like most people say. And I was, you know, I really, if you think about it, my job, like I made my own hours. I made so much money doing like not that many hours. And people used to say, wow, you are living the dream. You live in New York City. You have this great apartment. You make a lot of money not doing a lot of hours with it. And you go on vacation whenever you wanted. But essentially, it was not the money, right? Because if I wanted money, I could have just stayed there. And I made more money there than I do now. But it was because it was a life that I didn't want to be living. And that's what I want my audience to do, is to take the chance, because we don't know if this is the only life we're going to have. And I have a feeling it may well be. And you don't want to be stuck in that. And that's really what I want people to take out of all of this. And what I do is that anyone can do this as long as you are really passionate about it and you have a system in place and you're being smart about it. Because it's not an easy life to live, but when you do it, it's worth it. It's for me, it makes me happy. And a lot of people that I've spoken to, even though it's a struggle every day, it makes them happy. It makes them really happy.
That's such a wonderful message to leave on. Debbie, thank you so, so much for being on the show today and sharing all your really useful advice. So where can people find out more about you?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to find out more about me, if you want to read articles on how to be a digital nomad, if you want to do that, you can reach me at theoffbeatlife.com. If you want to see my travel photos, you can go to Instagram at theoffbeatlife. And if you want to learn how to be a podcaster, be a digital nomad, how to create income as a digital nomad and podcaster, you can just send me an email at hello@theoffbeatlife.com. And I will send you information on that. I do have a great email list that I send a lot of great information to people about.
Thank you so, so much. And I hope you enjoy the wonderful Florida weather for the rest of the day.
Thanks. It's really hot here, but I'm trying to enjoy it.
Didn't you just love Debbie? I really loved talking to her. We're going to be staying in touch. And one of the things that really stood out for me is when she said, honestly, it's not all pretty good. And I'm very candid about that. I really like when I talk to business people who don't put on a show that, you know, everything in their world is perfect. They give us the reality of what this is and how they're overcoming the challenges. And that is what it's like being a business person. There are challenges ahead, and it's your job to fix them. But on the other hand, you have complete freedom to fix them. You don't have to go and get buy-in or budget from anyone else. If you see a problem and you know how to fix it, or you have access to people who can help you figure out how to fix it, you can just get on and do it, which is fantastic. So as Debbie mentioned, check her out. She's theoffbeatlife.com. She's The Offbeat Life on Instagram, and you can email her at hello@theoffbeatlife.com. Don't forget to stay in touch with us here. You can check out all the lovely blogs that I'm writing on abrilliantgamble.com. You can join our Corporate Escapees Facebook group if you haven't done that yet. But you listen to this show, I really highly recommend that you head over to Facebook and join Corporate Escapees, because I'm hanging out down there and dishing out free advice and free resources. So get yourself over there, join, and you can be part of the fun as well. With information about all of that, here's the lovely Ivy Palmer.
Our website at www.brilliantgamble.com. There you can get all the episodes of the show, plus read the blog. And on our Escape the Rat Race courses page, you can find out more about our development programs to help you navigate your way through the minefield of life, career and change. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at brilliantgamble, and join our Corporate Escapees Facebook group. Finally, please leave a review and star rating for this podcast on